I'm not used to preaching sitting down. But then the teacher, Jesus, sat when he taught his people. I must say, Peg and I are glad to be back home. And we have a home here, and we have a home in Huntington. And we feel welcome in both places. We did miss you. It's good to come home. Most people like a good story. Anybody here doesn't like a good story? I like a good story, and since I retired, at least kind of retired, I do more reading of novels and fiction to get used to words and how they flow together, how they create a picture, how they create an understanding. Jesus told stories. He told stories so that the people could better understand the gem hidden in the story dealing with the kingdom of God. One of the more popular stories that he told is that of the prodigal son. Now, likely in some cases, we read that story and we get very uncomfortable. Maybe it gets too close to home. Maybe indeed it is totally out of whack as far as your understanding and what you believe and what you think about family. Rubberbound Taylor, a great preacher, Episcopalian priest and author, made this the point of one of her sermons in 2009. She titled the sermon, "The Dysfunctional Family." Yeah, we kind of get it, don't we? We read the story and we hear about the dysfunctionality, the breaking down of relationships, the confusion about what's right, what's wrong. As I read through this scripture this last couple weeks, trying to think about what was in it that might speak to us about Lent, it became crystal clear to me there's probably no other story in the Bible that prepares us for the significant week and 40 days that follow. I came to realize that the exchange between the father and the youngest son could be that excellent story that would help invite us to come home, to be at home with this congregation, to be at home with brothers and sisters in Christ. So I invite you to join me in thinking through this messy but significant text with that conclusion in mind. Now, we're not given many insights about why this crisis emerged for the younger son. Our imaginations can run wild, possibly his urge to be dependent of house rules, you know, the breaking away from home. I remember when our son went off to camp and was gone for the whole summer, and then he came home, and he had established new rules that were different than home rules. And the struggle we went through of trying to understand where he was coming from and the resistance he was giving us about the rules of our home. Sometimes there's sibling rivalry, and maybe he wanted to get away from that. He was the younger son. Or simply wanting to try life on his own terms. Probably this breaking away from the family happened over a period of time. However, we can hear his rebellious, hard-hearted attitude captured in these words. "Father, give me the share of property that will belong to me." What do we sense? What do we feel when we hear those words? A key word for me in that passage is will. I think this young man knew what he was going to do was not in alignment with what was natural and appropriate for the culture. But he didn't care. He wanted to go his way. According to N.T. Wright, a theologian writing in the New Testament for everyone, he shared this insight. There are only two times a father in the culture of this story setting would give his son his inheritance. One was wedding day, and second was when the father died. Well, a wedding for sure was not the driving factor in this story. Freedom from home rules and an arrogant know-it-all spirit is leading this young man to sin against heaven and his Father. He is suggesting the request that the Father drop dead. That's pretty serious stuff. Drop dead. His freedom was more important than the life and the love he had with his father and brother. I wonder, have we ever found ourselves thinking we know better than God? Or maybe knowing God knows best, but rather seeking to live our lives based on our own terms? Or at best, recognizing, as the Apostle Paul did in writing to the Romans, I do not the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. I don't know about you, but I find myself caught in this dilemma from time to time. Words I want to speak, but they never get out of my mouth. A temper I want to have control over, sometimes not having control. Things that I know as a Christian are not right, but I still do it anyway. Back to the parable. The son gathers up all of his possessions. He sells his parcel of the land and runs away from home. He's happy, he thinks. He's living the high life, the right life, the joyous life, he thinks. Drinking, carousing around, spending his parents on all the things that he believes will make and keep him happy. What do you think? Will he be happy? What do you think? When we turn our backs on God and go our own way, we're going to be happy? But as the story reads, this happy life the son is seeking is like a deflated balloon. You fill the balloon up with helium, it will go up to the ceiling. But if you let it there for a while, slowly but surely, the helium leaves the balloon and it withers to the floor. This young man, happiness is only temporary. The friends he thought he had made in this new life are not there any longer. The wealth that he accumulated and had in his paw to hand out to whomever for the high life experience that he wanted was gone. Now top that off with, he's living in a land that is facing famine. And think of the interesting contrast with his religious life and what he's going to do now. For this young Jewish lad has to turn to a farmer and be a keeper of the pigs. Dirt, mud, foul smells are his earnings. Even so, he wants to eat the corn pods that they are fed. But nothing is given to him. Desolate and hungry, and that can happen to us, we get hungry spiritually, get hungry physically, he begins to think about where his journey to his desired freedom has led him. The 40 days of Lent, like the young son, is an opportunity to come to ourselves. That's what the text says. He came to himself. And recognize that our desired outcome for our lives is not always realized. Our following Jesus is not always as easy as we'd first expect it to be. And as Paul says, we all sin. All of us here, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Part of our journey as a congregation has led us to a wilderness. We seem to be recovering, at least most of us, from that unwanted moment, those desert times of sorting through the dust and the unsettled aspects of change. We can get anxious. We can get anxious because things aren't the way we wanted them to be. We can get anxious because our lives are not being lived out exactly as we had planned it. We realize that among us that there is a declining numbers of people. I think that's settled down, and we're glad for that. But we also are not as young a congregation as we once were. But God's kingdom invites us to come home. That is the reason we have been working on core values. Very honestly, that's a coming home experience. It's a revisiting scripture. It's a looking at what we know and understand about our life at this given moment. It's a naming and beginning to live our way into a kingdom-designed life, which leads us to a deeper followership. Lent is a time to examine our awareness of Jesus' teachings, our life and followership as it relates to those teachings, our attitudes, our biases, and our way of treating others. Do we love God and neighbors as we love ourselves? It is this effort that we reflect about life and the way it used to be. But it is also the process of beginning to think and pray our way forward. And this is what happens to the young boy, wallowing in the mud of a pig's life, dying from hunger, slopping pigs, and as he does so, reflecting on the fact that even his father's servants, hired hands, have it better than he has. They have food to eat. They have shelter to protect them from the elements of nature. Thus, the boy has a lot of time to think, and he thinks his way forward. He rehearses his confession. He rehearses by saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your slaves." With this confession carved into his memory, he sets out for home. Well, more like a place to live and work as a hired hand for his father. But it is the beginning of a form of repentance. Lent is all about examining our individual discipleship lives and our life together in the body of Christ against the teachings and practices of Jesus. How do we measure up? I challenge us to choose one of the Gospels and just read that as a part of the Lenten journey. I invite you to take one of the cultivating devotional booklets on the table outside in the narthex. Take it and read it and reflect and think and pray. The reality is we can come back home. The son comes back home very humbly, and he should. He blew it. But you know what? From the day he left home, the father was watching. He knew the path by which the son would have to return. And as he looked out each day and prayed for his son's well-being and his son's return to home, he can see a figure. He cannot describe the figure, but he knows the walk. He knows the means of this boy's life. He's lived with him up to this point. It's not customary in this setting of a story for the man to run to the son. That's something we need to figure out in the story. Why did he do that? It was customary for the son to come to the father. But no, the father ran out. And as the son began this rehearsed confession, the father said, never mind. Get him a new, fresh robe from my closet. Get him a nice ring and put upon his finger. Kill the fatted calf. For my son is now alive where once he was dead. My son was lost, but now he is found. I invite us to think about several things on our journey this next 40 days. One, let's beef up our prayer life if we don't have one. Two, let's read at least one gospel and get a feel for who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. Three, let's invite others to join with us, to sit in the pews, to worship, to praise God, and discover what it means to come home. Don't forget, this is God's time. This is God's season. But may we always remember what the Father confessed. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Come home.